We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Good to see you.
You can see me?
Yeah, I can see you.
Oh, I think you're the only one. I'm Ghost.
Oh.
I'm Ghost Tanner.
Okay.
And I'm haunting you in the podcast because you've moved into my podcast. So now I'm haunting you.
This is my podcast. What are you doing?
No, it's
here?
My podcast.
No, I paid for it from this guy at the podcast before, but he died in a car wreck. Well, it's just the family's really cagey about it, but they're like, you can have this podcast for cheap.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And then I don't know what you're doing in here, but it's not your podcast.
It is my podcast. I'm a ghost and I've moved and I live and I do this podcast.
Okay. Well,
and I'm Ghost Tanner.
Yeah. And it's Ghost Tanner and regular, normal, handsome Jack. Good looking.
Yeah.
Very good looking. Kind of a like lost in the headlights affect that really works for me.
You know? Pouty lips.
Pouty lips. Yeah.
Yeah. Are we talking about you or Mark Ruffalo?
Well, you know, same broad difference.
I don't think I'd describe your lips as pouty.
This movie was a wall-to-wall spook fest. Prepare
yeah,
to be
scariest
scared.
Scariest movie we've ever watched yeah. for the podcast. Scariest piece of media I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's scary as heck.
Confirms the existence of ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, coma ghosts. Oh, and that's the other thing, Jack.
Spoiler.
I'm Ghost Tanner, and I'm also regular Tanner's in a coma.
Regular Tanner... is in
and
a
that's
coma.
Why I exist as a ghost.
Okay,
you can only be a ghost if your person body is in a coma.
That's the big spoiler for this movie.
Well, and it totally rewrites like ghost mechanics.
And
like
we're going to be talking
millennia
a lot about
of ghost mechanics.
Millennia of ghost mechanics are completely upended. A question we used to ask on this podcast a lot was, where does this novel stand on the spectral realm?
Yeah,
and that is a
and
question-
by spectral realm you mean the realm of. Netflix or the Netflix original Spectral, right?
Yeah, I mean it's a scientific scale, right? Where if you take the Netflix original documentary Spectral,
yeah,
as basically the official facts about ghosts,
yeah,
and then you widen out from there to theories or speculations about ghosts,
yeah,
that's the question: is this sort of, you know, how close does this hue to Spectral, which is the way we actually understand
yeah.
ghosts scientifically?
Pretty far off the mark.
It's pretty far
and
off
do we,
the mark.
Do we dock? Well, yeah, because like Mark Ruffalo can see Reese Witherspoon ghost yeah. without special glasses.
That's right. Yeah, without any special glasses.
It's made quite clear that nothing can penetrate her incorporeal being.
Well, I think that's still...
including ghost bullets.
That's not true. He doesn't try any ghost bullets. Again, another spoiler, but he doesn't try to shoot her with any ghost bullets. So
yeah.
that may hold up.
I also think that the ghosts in Spectral are the spirits of deceased people. Although they never actually say, do they? Or do they say?
I can't remember. I guess I should rewatch it.
We should probably rewatch it.
Yeah.
And in this, ghosts are formed when one is in a coma.
I think that this movie theorizes that ghosts are formed generally, but also when you're in a coma.
Well, we only ever see one,
yeah.
and we only have like one like use case to go off of.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and it's what this person.
But it's a
is
big
in a coma
spoiler.
And she made a ghost.
It's a big spoiler, and I was watching it with.
She fired a ghost off.
Sarah's cousin, and she.
Pip.
That's my cousin, man. Get it together. She immediately grasped that that was probably what was going to happen, but it surprised me. She was like, "Oh, I bet she's in a coma." And I was like, "You know what?
Why would
I've
you
been
be a ghost
wondering,
then? Haven't you seen Spectral?
The tone of this movie is so silly and fun that I was like, it's going to be pretty sad when eventually, like, she has to, like...
She has been dead.
Like, continue to be dead and, like, you know, go off into the light.
Yeah. They're just throwing out, like...
Yeah.
The millennia...
Centuries of ghost lore. Yeah.
Of ghost lore.
Yeah.
And, like, spitting in the face of the Netflix original Spectral.
Yeah, which is...
Sacrilegious.
Cool. Yeah, sacrilegious. Yeah.
And like maybe legally actionable.
Yeah.
Like, can we sue for like defamation?
I think we could sue on behalf of the Netflix original documentary Spectral, which did laid such important groundwork for how we as a society can and should talk about ghosts.
Yeah.
And then for this film to come in and just tear all that work up and make up its own path is disrespectful and, frankly, I think illegal.
Yeah, it, or it should be.
Yeah.
And maybe one of us needs to run for office on that platform.
Yeah, I think so.
Or maybe one of us needs to get in touch with Beto. Keto,
yes.
Beto.
Keto
and
Beto.
See if he'll kind of add that to his platform.
I think so. He's got a lot on his plate. But yeah, maybe he'll add that. We should say we're the spooky bedfellows.
Yeah, my name is Tanner, Ghost Tanner.
And I'm spooky regular handsome Jack. Yeah. And this week we're talking about a fantastic film called Just Like Heaven, directed by Mark Waters, starring a young Mark Ruffalo and a equally young, hopefully, because hopefully they, you know, thought to cast them as being the same age, Reese Witherspoon.
What a couple of little snacks.
Mm-hmm. Couple
Reese
little
and,
snacks.
And Mark.
Yeah.
You know, you look at these two on screen together, you get their chemistry. A little taste of their chemistry. This is like 2005, I think, right?
Sure.
They're both young. They're both attractive. And you're thinking, like, is this the new Meg and Tom?
Yeah.
You know? Is this the new Meg Ryan and
Brad
Tom
and
Hanks?
Jennifer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You feel it coming off of them, huh? You feel that heat coming off of them.
The heir's apparent to America's couple.
You think so. You think so, right? And then...
Is this the new Freddie Prinz and Marianne Spear from the Babysitter's Club movie?
I'm not sure we've ever seen them in a movie together again.
No. What happened?
I don't know. Maybe there was drama on the set.
Yeah.
Maybe they had a fiery...
Passionate.
IRL.
Yeah.
Romantic involvement that, like, therefore just, like... Their on-screen chemistry just disappeared.
Well, and as I've said before, this movie is a wall-to-wall spook fest, so maybe they just felt like it was too spooky.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe they
too many
started...
People. Scared all the test audiences.
They started developing Just Like Heaven 2.
Yeah.
But after years of like development hell, it did turn into the Netflix original Spectral.
Yes.
It went through a lot of changes, a lot of script revisions.
Yeah. Beautiful movie, very funny and fun. We liked it. We should probably say, I guess, what happens in it. Have I mentioned that it's a wall-to-wall spook fest?
You have several times.
Scary. Very scary. It's also kind of exists in the Ghostiverse a little bit. Like it has.
This is the one film. This is the one film they've ever appeared in together.
Outrageous. Outrageous.
Even like, even coincidentally. And don't even get me started on John Heder.
John Heder is
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. Oh, wait, is he Whoopi Broberg?
Yeah, he is.
So I've named him Whoopi Broberg.
And it took me just a second of thinking about it, but then I fully understood what you meant.
Yeah, he's a very good part of it. I didn't realize that was John Heder, but they have a Whoopi Goldberg from Ghost character.
Sort of stand-in.
Who's like kind of a medium and who does a lot of Whoopi Goldberg-esque
stuff. He runs
a
cult bookshop.
Can I help you with anything?
No.
I mean, believe in this stuff?
Well, you don't. Until you do.
That's a little dated. I recommend the Rosemary Preston.
It's totally seminal.
Excuse me? Where's your UFO section?
It's back and to the left.
Ufology. It's not even a real science. So, what kind of encounter have you had?
Encounter?
Ectoplasm? Somniferous ether? I have a killer seance book if you're into communication.
Communicating is not her problem.
Righteous. I have exactly what you need.
But it's a bro-y John Heder or Hader? Who knows?
Heder, I think.
Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite. Except he's not all, he's not dressed up like Napoleon Dynamite. And honestly, he's barely a presence in this film.
And we should explain the adjacency to Ghost, which goes beyond having a Whoopi Goldberg character in the form of John Heder, which is that it's got it, the movie plays by reverse Whoopi Goldberg rules.
Okay, so they're flaunting it in the face of another beloved, cherished property that established like these beautiful rules.
Yeah.
Elegant rules.
She jumps into Mark Ruffalo at one point and controls his body a little bit.
Yeah.
Which I think it's a nod to the fantastic hit film Ghost, which we have talked about.
Yeah.
So I think that this film exists in the Ghostiverse. It, of course, is a prequel to Spectral, the great documentary about how ghosts are real and how you can shoot them with ghost guns.
Yeah. And see them with ghost goggles.
Yeah. Should we
which
say...
Which obviously then 13 Ghosts is part of the Ghostosphere too, because they also have ghost goggles.
Yes. And Casper, of course, the friendly ghost.
Mm-hmm. Which establishes that ghosts, through the power of love,
yeah,
can be brought back to life.
Yes, and that's what happened here.
No, she was just in a coma.
Yeah, I know, but the power of love, I think, did help to bring her back.
Oh, yeah, I think so, yes. Yes. It's much easier to bring a coma ghost back with the power of love.
It's a lot easier, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we say it? What happens?
Sure, we can explore that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Mark Ruffalo. Sorry, let me start over.
Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon, whose name is Elizabeth in the film.
She's the doctor from City of Angels.
City of Angels, yeah. She's the Meg Ryan character from City of Angels. And then she's so busy. She doesn't have time.
She's got a
busy career. It's also the same as Sandra Bullock in the Lake House. Busy doctor. Doesn't have time for relationships, you know?
Yeah.
Struggling with the existential dread that comes along with saving and taking lives.
Yeah.
And she dies.
Could I say my burn?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, it's a good illustration of what her character is. There is an attractive babe in the apartment below.
Oh, so 2005. She's wearing like extremely low-cut jeans and like a, you know, whale tail, like bedazzled thong.
Yeah. And she tries to seduce Mark Ruffalo quite aggressively.
Yeah.
But when he first meets her, he's trying to figure out who Reese Witherspoon was.
Yeah.
And at the 33-minute mark, he asks...
Because she can't remember.
Yeah.
And this is an important piece of ghost lore.
Right.
When you die or slip into a coma, you...
have amnesia.
You have, selective amnesia. Like, you remember it's your apartment. You remember, all the important stuff. But you don't remember your name or who you are.
Who you were. And so they're trying to figure out who she was. And Reese Witherspoon is there, but only Mark Ruffalo can see her. I don't know if we've got into why that is. And he asks Babe in the apartment below, who previously lived in the apartment.
Hi, can I help you?
Oh, finally somebody normal. I thought we were friends.
Hi, I'm David. I'm a new tenant here.
Hi, David. Katrina. Come on in.
She's friendly. I like her.
No, this will just take a sec. I have a question. The apartment upstairs, it belonged to a young woman.
And she says,
I think there was somebody up there, kind of like a cat lady. Without any cats.
Yeah, very good.
That's a good burn.
That is a good burn.
So that's what she's
did we get into why he can see her and no one else can? Oh, he's also got a lovable best friend who's like a psychologist who like helps him out of scrapes. But like John Heder, he's barely a presence.
John Heder, I think, was larger than his small role in this. He is very funny and fun in the film. And he's a medium and he understands. He's like the... you know, the keeper of the ghost lore.
Yeah. Well, and it's that lore is expanding minute by minute, day by day.
Yeah.
As more and more sort of properties enter the ghostosphere.
And so anyway, she is doing her hospitaling and she's getting set up on a blind date, isn't she? And she goes, do they say that or initially? I can't remember.
But it's yes.
She rushes to go to her blind date and then, boom, hit by a semi.
Yeah.
And then we fast forward to a month later and Mark Ruffalo has a lady who's... it's unclear what he does. Oh, he's a landscape gardener.
He's a landscape architect, I think.
He's must be very, very wealthy.
He is very wealthy. And he also spends the first quarter of the film not working and just sort of drinking himself into oblivion in his living room. So he's got some savings, I guess, too.
He has couch blindness.
Okay.
It's not really, it's not explicitly stated in the film, but it adds this air of pathos and tragedy to his character.
Yeah.
He can't see couches and he can't sit on them right.
Yeah. I do remember him interacting with couches, but in what way did it displease you?
I mean, it pleased me, but he keeps going, there's a montage of him going to find different apartments. His real estate agent.
It's been photographed for magazines.
Yeah, I think I told you I was going to need something furnished.
Well, it is furnished.
Where's the couch?
Oh, do you believe all of this space?
Yeah, it's great for all those raves I'll be throwing.
I'm sensing a no.
And in each one, he can't figure out how to sit on the couch in the apartment for some reason.
He'll like and bounce sometimes, or
that's
he'll
the
like
way,
lounge.
Yeah. Yeah. He sits, yeah. There's one that has like, it has backing on either side and a hole, like a, there's like no backing in the middle. And so he sits in the middle and like falls back through
backwards.
It, which is not what you would do if you knew how to sit on couches, I think.
Yeah. Or even just like through context clues could figure out what you're supposed to do.
Like it does, I'll admit that it's not a normal couch, but I think I could, even so, I'd be able to kind of adjust on the fly.
Yeah, because you don't have couch blindness.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't have couch blindness.
It's a serious ailment.
I'm realizing that I was getting adjacent to making fun of someone with couch blindness.
No,
and if you or someone you know does have couch blindness,
hateful.
I want to eat shit right now. Can I do that thing where YouTubers like sit on the floor?
Sit on the floor.
And apologize?
Don't take a few minutes.
Yeah.
Don't apologize right away. That's going to seem insincere. Kind of stare at the camera. Maybe like hold back tears a little bit. Look off camera.
Yeah.
And then like turn back to the camera after a couple minutes and say like something like, you guys deserve so much better.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you can't actually apologize. I think apologizing is a sign of weakness.
Hey, Jackheads. I just wanted to say that you guys deserve so much better. I'm sitting on the floor now.
It's been really humbling.
And I'm realizing that it may seem like I'm making fun of someone who has couch blindness by sitting on the floor, but I'm not. I just want to get down to your level. I fucked up. That's a serious issue, and Mark Ruffalo has it, and I'm realizing from all my mail that there are millions of sufferers, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry.
No, you wouldn't be sorry, but
I'm not sorry, but you deserve so much.
You're humbled.
Better. Yeah, I'm humbled. This has been a humbling experience for me, and I'm going to learn and grow from it. I'm going to say what else happened in the film. He can't sit on couches, but he does find the perfect apartment, and he rents it, and they're
a beautiful, like literally the most beautiful apartment I've ever seen in my life.
Stunning.
Overlooks like every major landmark in San Francisco somehow perfectly. It's like it's a tower built on the tallest hill in San Francisco.
And they're like cagey about why that such a nice place is free.
Yeah, but he loves the couch.
They're like, something fucked up happened to the previous tenant. And then he like lives his sad bachelor life in there. And like, you know, he just has like a 12-pack of Michelob Ultra in the fridge. And that's his whole...
I remember it was Michelob Genuine Draft.
Oh, it was a Miller MGD, which is disgusting.
A Miller Genuine Draft, yeah.
And then suddenly Reese Witherspoon is in his apartment and he's like, you don't live here, I live here. And she's like, no, I live here.
What?
There's nothing worth stealing here.
What?
There's no money, there's no drugs.
I'm not stealing anything.
Okay, I'm sure there's a homeless shelter nearby. I will give you money for cab fare and a good meal, but please don't blow it on more beer, okay?
I am not homeless. I live here.
Okay, you can't live here because I live here. This is my apartment.
Since when?
Since I rented it.
You rented it?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I don't need this.
Yeah, and it takes him a while to figure out that...
She's a ghost.
She's a ghost.
Yeah, and then they have like kind of a buddy comedy together.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a buddy comedy until they fall in love with one another. And then she needs to have the curse lifted from her by true love's first kiss.
By true love's first kiss, yes. But that doesn't do it.
Yes, it does.
Does he kiss her in the hospital room?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And that does it somehow. That pulls her out.
Yeah, and then he's tackled by guards.
So we
and
should
then
say,
and then there's
the family decides to pull the plug.
Yeah, well, there's this, God, there's so many characters in this film. There's also this, like, kind of asshole doctor who's, like, her rival at work.
Yeah.
Who gets, the dude gets, like, passed up at the beginning of the film for a promotion because Elizabeth is getting the promotion.
Yeah,
but when Elizabeth dies, he gets the promotion, and he has made the call to pull the plug on Elizabeth.
Yeah, he's like, you guys got to do it.
Yeah, and he's encouraging the sister to do that. And the sister eventually says, like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
But they love each other very much. And then so there's a caper at the end where Mark Ruffalo has to, like, steal the body. It's fun. What a fun movie. It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah. It was fun. Should we say what happens at the very end of the movie?
Okay, sure.
She wakes up and doesn't remember who he is.
Yeah.
But they don't really do anything with it. They just, like, in the next scene, they're like, he, like, touches her and she remembers who he is.
And then they're in love.
Oh, because he builds her, like, a big, beautiful garden on the roof.
He builds
her
a big, beautiful garden. It's perfect. It's a perfect
kind of a
movie.
Mess of a movie. There's a lot happens.
It's kind of a spook fest, and Coma Ghost is real. Coma Ghost
is real. Yeah.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah, we know that now. And I've had to really adjust my priors on Ghost. And I think the thing, the crux of it is that, like, in this universe, ghosts exist because they, like, had some unfinished business, don't we all?
Yeah.
But
you got a fucking deck that isn't finished yet, despite the fact that I worked on it until 7:30 tonight.
Oh my God, what a nightmare.
If I died tonight, that would be all that's keeping me on this plane.
This is a Google Slides deck?
A Google Slides
deck.
For
a client?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I won't watch that movie.
You have, like, to finish the Google Slides deck.
I buy a used laptop and there's an unfinished...
It's a recap of the discovery phase of this project. We just need to restate the client KPIs. Would you do that for me? If it meant
that it would set your,
like,
spirit
paradise.
Free. Yeah, I would.
Would you finish a boring strategy deck for me?
Yeah. Okay. Anything more than that. That's the least I would do.
What's keeping you on this? If you died now, what's keeping you around?
I've got this puzzles newsletter that I've written like seven
I vow to release it.
Okay. You will learn how to do and set crypto.
I'll vow
crossword
to release
and
the ones you've already done.
Pompous little introductions to them.
I vow to release the ones you've already done.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a limited, like...
Yeah.
A limited set. Like, this is your one time.
This is it.
To experience this, because the author of these puzzles is actually dead.
Yeah.
That's and beautiful. His soul is in hell because I released it from this plane.
No. We should say that the unfinished business that Reese Witherspoon has is the blind date she was on the way to.
Was with Mark Ruffalo.
Was with Mark Ruffalo, and she wasn't looking forward to it, but it turns out he's the love of her life. What? And the universe, it rhymes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
With what? Spooniverse?
Yeah, Spooniverse. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, very fun film. Hell of a film. Kind of a mess. A lot of plot. A lot of characters. America's new sweethearts.
Yeah.
Reese and Mark.
Reese-a-lo. Let's give him a name.
Reese-a-lo, I like.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we don't need to.
Yeah, you already have.
Reese-a-lo, everybody. I ship Reese-a-lo. I can't wait to see those two crazy kids get back together in another film.
Maybe someday. Luckily, they're both still with us.
Early on when we were being introduced to the Reese Witherspoon character, there is a elderly gentleman in the hospital who always has his butt hanging out of his robe. And every time he sees Reese Witherspoon, he says,
"Will you marry me?"
"Of course, Mr. Clark, but first I need to find you a robe."
Yeah.
And
"You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have played that fucking part."
Yeah, I think you could have. I don't know if you could have as well as that guy. but certainly you could have. Can I just run something by you real quick?
Yeah, sure.
This film was directed by a man named Mark Waters.
Mark Waters, yeah.
He is a famous film director.
Mm-hmm.
He has directed a lot of films that people really love, like Freaky Friday, the remake, and Mean Girls.
Yeah.
And Just Like Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Then he directed a film, Jack, 4 years later in 2009.
Okay.
Called Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
Interesting.
Connor Mead is a famous photographer and womanizer. He attends the wedding of his brother Paul to Sandra when he becomes reacquainted with Jenny, the one girl who captured his heart. Okay, so this is... You're thinking, I imagine, that Mark Waters has a thing for, like, ghost girlfriend films.
Ghost girlfriends, yeah.
And that is true, but The Ghost of Girlfriends Past is actually a retelling of A Christmas Carol, except with he is a womanizer instead of a Christmas hater.
And is it ghost girlfriends or it's actual girlfriends?
Ghost girlfriends from his past come to teach him...
To love.
Saw-like lessons.
Well, okay.
much like the ghosts in A Christmas Carol sort of taught Ebenezer Scrooge saw-like
really
lessons.
The original Saw.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have said that of A Christmas Carol. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, look, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know? And that's like a perfect Saw trap.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I will keep an eye out for more Mark Waters movies.
The Saw movies would have been better if they were psychological like that. Like, lock me in a room and show me, like, how much happier everyone is without me around.
Yeah, that'd fuck you up. You'd rather eat your own foot.
Yeah, then I'd eat my own foot right out of there.
I could have played that part, of course.
Now, he also directed a film called The Spiderwick Chronicles.
No, oh, I've heard spiders. Of that. I've heard of that.
All right. I'm back with you. What did you say?
Thank you for joining me. I was just reiterating that I could have played that part.
I mean, I could have played a part, too, and it's the curly-haired, hunky lead of this film.
Mark Ruffalo.
Right? Don't you think? There's sort of a... You said the universe rhymes, and I think in the case of Mark Ruffalo, that rhyme is me.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
I'll yes.
And then I think I could have played that part.
It would have been interesting.
Maybe not as competently as Mark Ruffalo.
Well, this is actually gives us an opportunity to do something that I had been wanting to do, and we can test that.
Okay.
Which is there's one line reading in this program that didn't... Well, I laughed out loud at it, and it was not intended to be funny.
Okay.
Like it was elicited the
I hate sand of this film.
A guffaw from me. Who says I hate sand?
Anakin Skywalker.
Oh yeah, it's the I hate sand of this film.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, maybe we can punch it up, or do you think we can just like give it a different delivery?
My thought is we could try to give a different delivery so it doesn't.
Yeah, I think I can help you with motivation.
Okay, that's good. And
sort
I think
inform your delivery.
That'll be helpful. But I want to be clear, what we're trying to do here is make this line reading not funny.
Right, we're trying to make it work.
It's supposed to not be funny. It reads as very funny.
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Not funny. Okay, well, I'll give you some context for it first.
Okay.
It's at the 58-minute mark of this film. Reese and Reese-a-lo, as we say, are bonding.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got past their initial kind of sniping at each other, and they're starting to have feelings, I think, for one another.
Yeah.
And they're standing on the balcony of her beautiful apartment. And Reese-a-lo, the reason he drinks Miller Genuine Draft, even though he's rich and could afford a nicer beer, is that his wife died.
Yes, his wife is dead, and he watches videotapes of their wedding.
Yeah,
and drinks drowns his
like
sorrows.
An MGD, yeah. Which is brutal. A brutal way to spend time.
a brutal way to slowly kill yourself.
Yeah. He
MGD'd himself to death.
So she's, Reese, as aforementioned, is the doctor from City of Angels. She's a fine doctor.
And the Lake House.
And the Lake House. And Mark Ruffalo, in a moment of tenderness, is kind of talking about the death of his wife, which is sad. And he says,
she's cursing at her shoe. Her heel had broken. And then she just kind of sat down and put her hand to her head.
And Reese Witherspoon says,
cerebral hemorrhage.
It's not a fucking quiz.
It's not a quiz, Reese.
Reese. Have some decorum.
So, I don't know if you want to... We'll do one reading at the end of this to try to put the correct gravitas to it. I want to try to keep the line pretty close to what this is. We can tinker with it if we need to.
Okay.
But it might help if you were saying, if you wanted to give some extra motivations or anything like that.
Which one? Which line? Mark Ruffalo's or Reese's?
Well, you were saying that I think we have to do the whole reading. I'll be Reese because you were saying you could be Mark. I'll send you the line.
Yeah.
You can be Mark, but I think the Reese line, I'm giving myself a shorter line, but it's the one that could come across as funny.
Well, here's what I'm thinking is like we could just do Mark Ruffalo's line as though he is asking like a trivia question.
Okay, let's try that treatment. I like that.
Okay.
Let's try that. So I've sent you the line so you can read it that way, and then I think my Reese line is going to come across less awkward.
Yes. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
So this is just to kind of set the scene here.
Yeah.
It's sort of, we couldn't get the rights to do Jeopardy, but it's a Jeopardy-like show.
We'll put some quiz show kind of music and sound effects behind this.
So you kind of, the questions are all phrased as answers, and then you would have to answer with a question.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
All right, next round. She was cursing at her shoe. Her heel had broken, then... She just sat down and put her hand in her head.
Okay.
Yes, Jack Shepherd. Oh, sorry. Yes, Elizabeth from this movie.
I know this. Okay, for 500, Mark, what is cerebral hemorrhage?
Now, would that, I think that was a great read.
Yeah.
No notes on the read for either of us.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you don't have any notes for me.
No, that was perfect. Yeah. Well, you did say put her hand in her head, which kind of threw me off a little bit instead of put her hand to her head, but that's fine. That's just a small note. We can paste over it in post. We'll make it work.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did have notes for my mind.
Yeah, but it's a small note. Yeah. Other than that, it was perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't have any notes about your read or your performance.
Okay. Perfect.
I'm not totally sure switching to like a game show format at the 58-minute mark of the film
is going to work in the context of the film.
That's my only note. That's my only note.
I mean, we could try to do a bigger rewrite around this game show concept.
Yeah. I think if we're really dedicated to making this...
Yeah, this line work.
This line work.
Mark Ruffalo is on a game show that's hosted... No, sorry. A ghost gets into a game show. And they've already accepted... They've already signed the contract when they realize that she's a ghost. And so she has to come on.
Yeah. That's good. Here's an idea. Can I pitch a game show to you?
Yeah.
We are going to have to figure out how to channel ghosts. That's the only thing holding this concept back.
That's nothing. That's nothing. We can work that out.
It's like the Newlywed Game where you have three ghosts on.
Yeah.
And you ask them questions to try to get them to guess themselves because they've all forgotten their previous lives.
Right, because ghosts have forgotten everything about their previous lives.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That could work, right?
That works. Yeah, they don't need a partner.
Yeah, so we'll just need the guys in R&D to figure out how to channel ghosts.
Right.
And I guess like a way to visualize them, because I don't think it would be very visually interesting if it was just like...
It's just like empty podiums.
Invisible. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll need some spectral ghost goggles and guns. You know, here's what it is. The show doesn't make any money. It's losing money hand over fist because no one will advertise.
Right. Because we do pretty openly discuss like how all these people died.
Yeah. It's gruesome. It's very just too sad for a game show. But we make all our money back selling spectral goggles to the viewers.
So they can
see the show.
Selling special TVs that come with spectral goggles.
There we go. Yeah.
Because then we got a higher like margin.
That's good. And then this movie, just the rewritten Just Like Heaven, I'm sure they'll be open to our notes, could be like the marketing for that show.
Yes, this movie.
Yeah. Once they've accepted our rewrites.
Okay.
Which
right.
I think they will, because it's going to fix that one kind of clunker line, which is supposed to be a really emotional moment, and it landed very funny, and it wasn't.
Is there any other explorations of the line that you're interested in kind of approaching? Do you have like some different motivation for me or for yourself, maybe?
I honestly think that was pretty perfect.
Okay.
Let me think for just a second. I think like it's kind of similar, but maybe we could do something.
I got it.
Okay. All right. Well, I got it too. But so we'll do both. Can I do mine?
It seemed like you were stalling until you could think of something.
No. Here's what I thought of is if Mark Ruffalo is trying to remember the name of someone.
Yeah.
And that name is cerebral hemorrhage. And so he's like describing it like, that person in that movie?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What are they like a, I guess
who's
like a,
that
maybe
actor?
Like a punk rocker? That sounds like the name of like a, you know, hardcore punk
Yeah.
rocker.
Oh, it's a band.
Yeah.
So it's a one woman punk band.
Yeah.
And it's called Cerebral Hemorrhage.
Okay. So there's something that happens in this film quite often, which is no one can see Reese Witherspoon except Mark Ruffalo.
Right.
And he's often caught in awkward situations where he's speaking to no one.
Yeah.
And presumably in this moment,
he
would appear as though he's speaking to no one.
Right.
So maybe he's sitting there like having this heart to heart with Reese Witherspoon.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of her saying cerebral hemorrhage, maybe that asshole doctor is like walking by and he says, oh yeah, cerebral hemorrhage.
That works, yeah.
And that way it's Reese, it can still be a laugh line and Reese can like still have her like moment of empathy or sympathy.
Right, because she could like roll her eyes at him.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to try my treatment first?
Yeah, let's try them both.
Okay, I'll try my, I can be Mark for my one.
I don't think that's going to read.
Okay, so you be Mark, and you're trying, you know what, do you understand your motivation? you're trying to remember the name of a punk band, and you saw them live once, and they did like a few very specific things that you think is going to help me remember.
Maybe this is like the name of their like tracks on their album.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah. Like, okay, so we'll do a little setup.
Yeah. Okay. Let's enter the scene. Bring me into the scene.
Okay. Let's talk about favorite bands.
Oh yeah, we're really getting to know one another because we're romantically interested.
Yeah. What's an album you like?
Oh, I love. There was like a hardcore punk band in the late '80s who I was absolutely obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I can't remember the name of the
band. I have a compendious knowledge of that scene, so you can just name some tracks.
I just can't. Yeah. So they had that song. She was cursing at her shoe. Her heel had broken. Then she just kind of sat down and put her hand in her head.
Cerebral hemorrhage, right?
Yeah, that's
yes!
It.
Yes! Fucking rock.
And I tried to throw you off there a little bit.
By saying put her hand in her foot. Head. Yeah.
Just to get like a more authentic performance. Yeah, and I think got it out of you.
Okay, great. Let's do your treatment and then let's take a quick break. So you can just say it real sad like Mark does.
Yeah, I'll just say it like Mark does. Yeah. Okay, ready? I'm looking in the middle distance.
Okay, and I'll be the doctor. So I'm the mean doctor, just happen to be walking by.
Yeah, can you make it sound like you're walking by when you deliver your line?
Yeah, you bet. I'll do some Foley work.
Okay. She was cursing at her shoe. Her heel had broken. Then she just kind of sat down and put her hand in her head.
Cerebral hemorrhage.
Yeah, I think we got three totally viable alternatives. Yeah.
Great. We'll just send that in.
That require varying degrees of rewrites, but I think like
yeah.
If it's up to us, we're doing that first one because that's more hours, more billable hours for us, you know, if we're restructuring the entire film.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's product placement and stuff, too. We can sell those spectral goggles, so I think that's my preference. Okay. Let's take a quick break. I have to go talk to my son about the Ninja Turtles, or the Ninja Turtles, as he calls them.
Okay.
As part of our deal for bedtime, that he made all of the terms of the deal, and for some reason, although I am almost 40 years older than him, I accept it.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. I I'd like to introduce a hit segment, Tanner. It's our big hit segment on the show now, and I'm going to need you to leave, and I'd like to bring in his place the now peaceful Arbiter Tanner.
I just kicked down the caved in your roof because my orbital drop pod dropped in from shallow space.
Whoa. Okay. Well, thanks for coming in, Arbiter Tanner.
My name is Arbiter Tanner, and I'm here to dispense justice by showering my favorite Rotten Tomatoes commenter with sweet, sweet kisses.
That's right. Yeah, and withholding them from the bad ones.
Yes.
It's a little segment that we call On the One Hand.
God's love.
Yeah. So what we do here is I say On the One Hand, and I tell you a few glowing reviews, and then we're going to do On the Fence Hand. Thank you for naming that segment better than I was going to call it On the Fence, but you rightly pointed out it should be called On the Fence Hand, which makes a ton of sense, which is kind of some middling reviews. And then we're going to finish up with a couple of On the Other Hand, where we talk about some people who fucking hated this.
Yeah.
So I'll begin. I've got two of each.
Okay.
So on the one hand, nameless, and it's not anonymous, it's nameless. It's a person with an avatar, and they chose not to have a name. It's a nameless, just a nameless being.
It's just a blank space?
They gave this film 5 stars.
Okay.
On May 6, 2018.
Okay.
And here's what they say. I think they must be British. Because they use the
word... It's good context. It's good to know.
They use the word cause, C-O-Z, which I think is kind of a British
cause.
Way of saying because.
Okay.
For me, it's a great movie because it's Mark Ruffalo. And that's,
isn't it?
There's two question marks at the end.
I think that's the implied, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the implied in it. And he does a lot of implied... he had a male appearing
presence.
Avatar. For me, it's a great movie because it's Mark Ruffalo. And I'll do that rising intonation whenever there's question marks. And there's always two.
Yeah.
My gosh, he's super hot.
Is that a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handsome when he was young. And of course, until now.
Yeah, I think so. He's really aged gracefully.
I just started searching for his movies when he was young. And I'll have a movie marathon with those movies of him.
Oh, okay.
So this person really likes
Mark
Ruffalo.
It's a roller coaster.
Yeah. So they went down a rabbit hole where they're like, Mark Ruffalo's hot now. What must he have looked like when he was young?
And yeah, now like, well, I know.
There's movies of him, and I can have a movie marathon of it. 5 stars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to be tough, I think, for Arbiter Tanner to dock points. But you don't have to say anything until we get through all of them. But keep
that No. I wouldn't.
Okay, here's our other 5-star review. On May 6, 2012, this one comes from Cherie S. And I guess I'll do this in a French accent.
Okay.
And it's really short.
Okay.
I love the ghost movies.
And that, what was the rating on that one?
5 stars.
Okay.
That's what Cherie says. I love the ghost movies. So she loves, I think, all she's Spectral, Ghost. She's on the same page as we have been.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
She loves all the movies in the extended Ghostiverse. Spectral, 13 Ghosts, Casper, and of course, Just Like Heaven, and Ghost.
Yeah, just another notch in her bedpost.
Yeah.
Another 5-star rating, another ghost movie behind her.
So, On the Fence Hand.
Yes, great.
So these are middling reviews. I've got a 4-star review and a 2-star review. So it's kind
it's
of in
easy,
the, they're both
it's
in the middle.
It's easy to sort of slide into that sort of enlightened centrist position, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You can be totally noncommittal. You can just be like, here I am, smack dab in the middle. So I'm saying that to say that I'm tempted here towards this. You know? There's a gravitational pull.
Yeah. It's the easiest.
Towards the center here.
Take. Yeah.
Yeah.
So LM on February 5th, 2012 gave this film 4 stars. And she says the following. I love Mark Ruffalo in the film. He was great. Okay. Made me believe in dead chicks.
Okay.
That's good acting. That's good acting, and that's what he did.
Made me believe in dead chicks.
Made me believe in dead chicks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very compelling.
Yeah. That's powerful. And then her partner here on the fence is Danny G, who gave this film 2 stars on January 7th, 2013. Here's what Danny G said. Two reasons. I like a list.
Yeah.
Two reasons I watched this movie. One, Kate Malua's Just Like Heaven opening credits music.
Okay, but you can just listen to that song.
Two?
You don't have to watch the film, Danny.
Wait for the beat to drop here. Two?
Okay.
DVD was given to me by a friend.
He came for the Kate Malua version of Call Me Heaven. He stayed for the rest of the film because
DVD was given
why not friend. He had the DVD.
You didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's good. Okay,
that's pretty
man
strong.
The middle is just always yeah. where I like yeah. to wallow. Okay. You've given me a heaping helping of dirty nasty mud there.
I've got one more on the fence hand for you.
Okay.
And then I've got two on the other hands. They're all pretty short. Katie H. also gave this film 2 stars on October 24th, 2012.
Friend of the show, Katie Haney.
Yeah, friend of the show, Katie Haney. She's been on the show in the past. She's got a great book, a couple great books.
Yeah. In fact, we could probably read
one of her romantic films. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pubic Relations.
Yeah, Pubic Relations.
Here's what Katie Haney said in her 2-star review of Just Like Heaven. Never, ever heard of it.
Yeah. The ecosystem, I think this is creating a lot of questions and a lot of interest, frankly, for me in the Rotten Tomatoes review ecosystem.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels like an Ouroboros. Like it's just eating its own tail because people are like gaming it just to like, why leave a review then, Katie? Yeah.
But why? She gave it 2 stars.
What? What? On what jurisdiction? You know, like, on what grounds, Katie?
Okay, I've got 2 very short. On the other hand,
okay,
reviews for you. Justin O. gave this 0.5 star on October 31st, 2012. And he's got a little comedy bit here. He says, "Don't be fooled by the title. Watching this movie was more like hell."
Okay.
Yeah. That's funny.
That's tight. That's a tight joke. It's tight work.
It's tight. It doesn't it doesn't need it. No notes on that.
No notes. Yeah. It's I'm trying to objectively?
Yeah.
I need to stay objective, but subjectively, no notes.
Yeah. And Michael R. didn't give it 0.5 star. He upped his bad review to 1 star, which was nice of him. And I think he's kind of like a modern day Roger Ebert. He just has kind of a real critical sensibility. And that's probably it was clear from his review that he hated it. But I think his genuine sense of how to be a critic and fairness that needs to happen
storyteller.
From a critic is putting aside that personal judgment.
Yeah.
And giving it a fair rating.
Okay.
But his critical appraisal of the film is quite striking. He says the following of this film, Just Like Heaven, a comedy starring Reese Witherspoon and Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Uses the Lord's name in vain. Uses Heavenly Father's name in vain.
Yes. And this again, this is not the first time we've encountered this.
Yeah.
It also, like, it has revealed another sort of, like, sub community of the Rotten Tomatoes commenting community,
yeah.
review community, which is the like the religious zealots.
Yeah.
We're going out and sort of like railing
just
against.
Just really docking these films for things that are kind of only adjacent to the film itself.
Yeah.
So we're on a tight schedule here. So if Arbiter Tanner wants to weigh in and we think we can review this film in 5 minutes,
I'm going
to
disqualify.
Yeah.
The two people who
Justin
have
and Michael.
Alternative missions here.
Oh, okay. So that's Michael and
the woman who gave it a 2 out of 10, who's just there to like.
Oh, because she hasn't heard of it. Katie. Yeah. Katie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Something is motivating her to comment on this, and it's not her opinion on the film.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So she's cut. And then Michael, of course, is cut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it Michael the Archangel?
Yeah. It's the Archangel Michael. Yes.
Yeah. And that explains why he's so.
Yeah, and he's
up
just
in
got,
arms
and
about
you know,
this.
He's got like a kind of, he's got blinders on a little bit. He's looking at everything through a very specific lens of being an archangel.
Right.
This one uses the Lord's name in vain. I'm going to have to send all of these actors away from the gates of heaven.
Yeah. Do we recall the name of the guy who was given the DVD?
That was Danny G. Yeah.
Danny G is currently being blasted in the face with little kisses from Marketer Tanner.
Okay, yeah.
And judgment has been
full
rendered.
Blast. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Danny G, two stars, on the fence hand. Arbiter Tanner has spoken.
Yep.
Okay, let's review this film as fast as we can. I haven't said this before, but our reviewer is, his name is Jeff E, which is short for Jeff Elmer.
Yeah. We have a lot to address. We have a lot to follow up on from the On the One Hand reviews.
Why don't we start with this? 5 stars, it's great, I think, right?
5 stars, it's great.
And we can say, while this prequel to the Netflix original documentary, Spectral, does take the Lord's name in vain, should we say Heavenly Father?
Yeah.
Let's just say, well, this prequel to the Netflix original documentary, Spectral, does use Heavenly Father's name in vain.
Yeah, okay. Should we so we're addressing Michael directly?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we're acknowledging his criticism, but it's couched in a 5-star review, so obviously it didn't bother us as much as it bothered him.
Okay, here's what I would say to Michael A.
You want me to say that?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what we would say to Michael R.
Michael R. and his one-star review.
Should we say to the Archangel?
Yeah.
Michael R. and his 1-star review.
Good. The R stands for Archangel.
Oh, put that in parentheses?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
It's more of a spoken joke. I don't know if it'll read because I'm saying R, Archangels. Get it?
I can make it work.
Okay.
I'll write R and then Cangel. R-Cangel.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, here's what I would say. I'm going to put a colon.
Judge not, and you will not be judged.
Yeah.
Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven.
Can I say judge not, and you will not be judged by Arbiter Tanner?
Yeah. And then condemn not, and you will not be condemned by Arbiter Tanner.
Great.
Forgive, and you will be forgiven by Arbiter Tanner. And then say this next. You know what book I'm paraphrasing there?
Yeah, that's good.
Michael? It's called the Book of Luke, and it's part of a bigger book called the Holy Dang Bible.
Okay. You want me to say that?
Get all of that, please. I just kind of wanted to hoist him on his own petard.
I'm just going to end it at, it's called the Book of Luke.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's him dealt with. What other messes do we have to clean up here?
Let's say we also love the ghost movies.
We love the ghost movies, yeah.
Let's just get this out here.
You're going to, in parentheticals, we're going to just list them all?
We also love the ghost movies. Yeah.
I think let's list them out.
Yeah, Spectral, 13 Ghosts, Ghosts, etc.
No, I think we really do have to list them all out.
This one.
You got Ghost in there?
Yeah.
Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
This one, Ghosts of Girlfriend's Past. Casper.
Casper, good one.
I think that's it.
Ghost Dad.
Okay, and Ghost Dad. Those are all the ghost movies.
Okay.
Let's just get this out here. We also love the ghost movies.
Got them all.
And we love Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
We love a young Mark Ruffalo.
Some would even say there's an echo in
our
appearance between the two of us. Yeah.
Okay, between the two of us. And while we weren't as lucky as some who were gifted the DVD of this film.
Scintillating film.
By a true friend.
Yeah.
We were able to find it online. And it made us believe in dead chicks.
Yep.
And I'll just say it made us believe, because I think dead chicks is a little bit loaded.
Yeah, I guess it's implied. People just sort of assume we mean dead chicks when we say it made us believe. Yeah.
Anything else?
Do
be fooled by the title. Watching this movie was just like heaven.
That's good. Yeah. P.S. We love this one.
Yeah. That's really beautiful. P.S. We loved this one. I'm just going to sign it Jeff and Elmer.
Yeah.
Jeff. And I'm going to do an ampersand. It's kind of cool. Jeff and Elmer. P.S. Should we say love Jeff and Elmer? Love from Jeff and Elmer?
Yeah. I like that.
Okay. Can I read it back to you and then we'll go?
Yeah, please. Yep.
Okay, 5 stars. It's great. While this prequel to the Netflix original documentary Spectral does use Heavenly Father's name in vain, here's what we would say to the Archangel Michael R. The R stands for Archangel. and his one-star review. Judge not, and you will not be judged by Arbiter Tanner. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned by Arbiter Tanner. Forgive, and you will be forgiven by Arbiter Tanner. You know what book I'm paraphrasing there, Michael? It's called The Book of Luke. Let's just get this out here. We also love the ghost movies. Spectral, 13 Ghosts, Ghosts, this one, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, Casper, and Ghost Dad. And we love a young Mark Ruffalo. Some would even say there's an echo in appearance between the two of us. And while we weren't as lucky as some who were gifted the DVD of the scintillating film by a true friend, we were able to find it online, and it made us believe. Do be fooled by the title. Watching this movie was just like heaven. Love from Jeff and Elmer. P.S. We love this one.
Cut and print.
Cut and print. I'm gonna.
What if we? You know, I now am starting to sort of like understand this like ecosystem of Rotten Tomato reviews.
Yeah.
What if we become? What if Jeff E. becomes a bit of a figure there?
A super reviewer.
What if he becomes like a bit of a presence?
I think he can. Yeah.
And like starts to like gain a little notoriety.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this to consume your life? Being like
absolutely.
Absolutely addicted to like the community and drama of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, there's
comments.
A lot of drama. Well, and I think what Jeff E. likes to kind of call out a lot of other reviewers. So it's going to be it's going to get messy, folks.
Yeah.
That's all we're talking about for today. Tanner,
let's go visit with Jeff and Phil.
Yeah, my parents are here. That's why I'm kind of rushing us through this. And I'm making us dinner. I'm making us pesto beet balls for dinner. Isn't that nice? Isn't that interesting?
It is. Sounds really good.
I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with us. I'd like to thank you, Arbiter Tanner, very much for bearing with me.
Trader Joe's pesto?
No, I make my pesto? Own. I make my own pesto.
Oh.
Homemade.
The Trader Joe's kale pesto is vegan.
You know what else is vegan? My own homemade pesto.
Okay.
I'd like to thank the Baby Nation and the Bed Pots and the Sex Bugs for bearing with us. We do love and kiss you so very much and all the time and every day.
Yeah.
Folks, please subscribe to our Patreon. It's the only thing that keeps us alive, and it's good.
Yeah, I mean, in addition to the, like, food and water.
Yeah, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We're talking about the TGIF shows, and it's fun. We're having a good time out there.
Yeah.
Rate and review our show wherever you rate and review shows. Thank you, everybody who's been doing that. We really appreciate it. It's a very easy way to help us to get noticed. And another easy way to do that is to recommend the show to a friend. You can and must also sign up to participate in our Facebook group, which is Baby Nation on Facebook. Everyone in there is good and nice.
Yeah, we like them.
Yeah, we like them. They're lovely.
Sometimes they don't leave enough comments on our episodes, though, and it makes us very insecure. 50 Shades of Grey.
Let's see. All that remains is for me to say that this week we watched a movie. The movie that we watched was, of course, called Just Like Heaven by Mark Waters. Next week, we're going to be watching a fantastic little film. It's a classic of the genre, one of the great early romance movie classics. It's called Kate and Leopold.
Oh, yes. I think we have to do something not sci-fi to break up the sci-fi a little bit. It's been nonstop, like, high concept, like, weird sci-fi.
Well, I could also recommend...
Should we just watch a straight romance?
Either The Holiday, which is one of the greatest romances of recent years with Jude Law and Emma Thompson. Such a great movie. She's the Man, I haven't seen. Notting Hill is a classic, all-time classic. While You Were Sleeping is a classic with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
Or we could just watch Kate and Leopold.
Kate and Leopold?
Yeah. And next week we're going to be watching Kate and Leopold. I thought you'd like it.
Yeah.
So look forward to that. It's a time-traveling duke.
And all of you tell us what, from that list that Jack just went through, tell us what you want next.
Yeah. All that remains is for me to say now that this week I have, of course, been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Ghost Tanner.
And I hope that you find your spookily ever after.
We might be childhood friends and I might have